Right now, it is time for that bear in New York City. It is time for Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch. Jim, of course, joins us every Tuesday at this time, an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and also politics. Let's bring him on board right now. Good morning, Jim.
And good morning to you on this very, very auspicious day.
That's right.
Happy birthday to you.
The Lynch sings.
Happy birthday to you.
It's the Lynch.
Happy, happy birthday, dear Marshall. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Do you?
A little jazz in there at the end. I like that. But Eli
He's
Manning.
He's a fine brass of a boy.
Eli Manning didn't give me a win last night, though. He threw for 300 and some odd yards, and they still stunk up the joint. They're so bad. They're a terrible team. They really are.
Anyhow,
I love them.
Glad. Have a good year.
I love them. You know what? I love them. But good or bad, I love them. So that's the way it is. Well, anyway, so thank you.
Did Jill show up today, or she's out gallivanting?
I've been listening. My favorite was the announcement at 7:20. Marshall said, "Today is my day," and I'm thinking, "What day
is not my day?
Not your day?" Well, I mean, honestly,
but today's the day where I admit that it's my day.
Right. We all live in terror and fear on the other 364 days about, what would Marshall want us to do here?
Right.
But today.
Well, we're all here now. We're all here now. Anyhow, let's get together and let's try and do something of benefit to our listeners. I think with all of the news out there, and God knows, it's like it's every 5 seconds. Let's just focus today on what is really most important to us as citizens. It's one, learning where to vote and setting it up. Two, figuring out how we want to vote. And three, making sure you've scheduled yourself in a way that you can get to the voting booth without any big problem, or you've written in, et cetera. I would like to go over some points that should be considered in terms of casting your vote. And I've got a number of items, a laundry list, and I'd like to go down them relatively quickly and then come back and we can discuss a few that make sense, if there is any sense left in this world, to this very, very great list of mavens in terms of knowledge and foresight and so forth. First of all, when you go to the polls, please consider that the Republican Party is on record, courtesy of Mitch McConnell and before him, of cutting back your Social Security benefit. And the reason they're thinking of that is because of the huge tax cuts we've had, the larger corporations and individuals basically increased our budget deficit by 17%, $779 billion. Now, that was also hit by increased defense spending. What they call discretionary spending, beyond that, has been pretty limited. So they're looking for a way to cut the deficit on the backs of the common man, so to speak. So be aware of that as you enter the booth. Now I have my list, which I'll go down, and then we can come back to it. There were promises made by the Republican president, and I assume the Republicans, who basically seem to lie down for whatever the president wants to do. And that's the first thing is cut back on health care, deny coverage for people with previous health problems. So that's been espoused in various corners of the Republican Party. The Democrats and most people who want to live a normal, healthy life in this country or against it. President Trump has done nothing to solve the opiate crisis, something which he termed an emergency. And there's been no emergency action rather the crisis has increased. We've had no cuts in prices for prescription drugs. Rather, the drug industry still dominates, courtesy of their having a tremendous impact on a lobbying basis, giving money to Washington. We have no infrastructure program to rebuild the country and in the process create jobs. And I want to point out to you that the Chinese, which obviously started much later on things, they've just completed a bridge, the longest one in the world, that connects their country. They spent $20 billion on it, and it's going to be great for their citizens and their business and so forth. Our current government has not had any legislation to provide training of citizens that need jobs as we get, you know, we're in a new world now, and it continues to expand, and we're not prepared for it for all of our citizens by training them. And it's in the interest of the government to create a program to subsidize training because it creates jobs, which creates taxes, which creates a better overall environment. We have a large amount of student debt. President Obama tried to alleviate it. Betsy DeVos, the current education secretary, is trying to eliminate that plan. I think she's been stifled to a degree. But you know where they're going. I mean, they're basically going to put the small guy, the average citizen, behind the eight ball. And in terms of being behind the eight ball, by shelving these regulations for industry, creating health hazards, this is not a way to protect citizens. On a more direct front, Trump has been complicit in trying to help the Saudis cover up this horrendous murder in Turkey of a permanent U.S. resident done at the consulate, Saudi consulate. Trump says he's hired the best people. Well, 83% of them have left the administration. Most of them are clouds over their heads for spending too much money and basically screwing around. Trump and his family have taken money from the Saudis before the election, but right after, all kinds of money was thrown at Trump personally through his businesses and his daughter Ivanka. As we know, if we're fair-minded and follow the evidence, and there are all kinds of articles on this, Trump has been laundering money for the Russians for decades, not just for the election, but his comeback from his five bankruptcies in real estate in the United States was helped by this influx of money from the Russians. Trump continues to demean women, blacks, and whoever he finds an idea to mock in order to please his base. Trump has contributed to thousands of deaths, mainly men and women in Yemen, by supporting the Saudis with air support and weapons. Basically, the Saudis take our air support and as cover and kill innocents in Yemen. Trump continues to deny the Russians tampered in our election. John Bolton over in Russia right now said, oh, it didn't affect our election. But the key is, no matter what he says about what he's done or not with Russians, Trump has been disrespecting our Department of Justice, the FBI, and the CIA. These agencies are for us, folks, for individual citizens. They're not for the politicians to use. And I could paint a dreary picture of how the government goes to fascism as we indeed do these deeds. Very, very significant. I just came across this by a former Obama helper. I forget his role, but he's now a private guy. He says, in conducting a survey, 40% of our military feel we are heading into war because of Trump's words and actions around the world. Comparison last year was 5%. It's not hard to believe. I mean, you know, with all of what we're doing, yelling and screaming at allies and currying favor with dictators and then being weak in terms of answering the dictators as they basically do heinous things such as killing citizens, be the Russians doing it in England. or the Saudis doing it in Turkey. And I just got two more. Trump's immigration policy puts children in cages, separates them from their parents. And the finale, and then we'll get back to a couple of these. You know, wealthy people have gotten their tax cut. And God bless them. You know, God bless all of us. Unfortunately, the average citizen didn't get much of a cut. But that said, talking to people who have done well under Trump monetarily, do we really want more in this country of what I've just enumerated to fall behind in democracy and to fall behind the world in terms of leadership? I really don't think so. So I suggest you think some of these things over, all of them, and make your mind up on them before you go into the voters' booth. Of course, a vote for a Republican on this particular election is for Trump, okay? The reason is because the Democrats, if they can take the House back, will be a check on what Trump has been doing. They won't totally get rid of it, but it'll alleviate it. And we need, our government was created with three branches of government. Two of them, the Congress and the judiciary, were to, in their own way, be a check on the executive branch, the presidency. Well, the Republicans have decided to lie down for whatever this president wants to do, which has really mainly been negative. And as was pointed out in today's press, or we've all seen it on television, Trump is resorting to mob psychology and racism in trying to help Republicans. This idea of a caravan is one of the stupidest things your eyes can ever envision. If you look at the people on the caravan, as he calls it, from Mexico, they're young people with children, half-dressed, feeding babies. The last thing they are terrorists, Middle Eastern or otherwise, or hardened criminals. I've made the point that if these fellows are hardened criminals, why are they coming to the U.S. only to be locked up? If they're hardened criminals making a buck in Guatemala, I would presume they'd stay there. So we have, hopefully not a human disaster on our hands if Trump decides to be cavalier and in some way hurt these people. He's hurt enough people already, be it in this country with his racism and his verbal abuse of women, as well as his caging of little kids. I mean, he's got all kinds of grandkids. The man totally lacks empathy. And he's very mean-spirited, and we really must move beyond him. So I turn it back to the council with the head maven, who gets the first shot since it's his birthday.
Well, you know, there's just, I think the problem, exactly what you just listed down here, is going to be a problem on election day. And when I say a problem, because it seems Americans have problems on focusing on things when it comes to an election. And when there's so much out there of their attention that can go in so many different directions. And when I say, what I worry about this is there's the independents and the Democrats, and there's the progressives, and there's the liberals, there's the Republicans, there's the conservatives, there's the Tea Party, there's the, what's the other section of Congress, what do they call themselves?
The
Freedom Caucus. All of what you just presented, Jim, is now out there, and it's being splintered by each individual portion of each party.
Same thing that's happened in entertainment, frankly. You know, it's like everything's designed
So what happens is people can't focus in and get really excited about a couple of things to go to the poll with. I mean, you never want to support, I hate to take so much time, but you never want to support a candidate who's a one-issue candidate. But if you're going to get out there and get the fire in your belly to vote, it really is one or two hot topics to you. And when there's six or seven or eight or 10 or 12, it really is so damn unpredictable, Jim. That's what scares me.
I think that's very well said. And obviously, I covered many, many things that...
Oh, you didn't even cover half the things, because we don't have enough time with the issues that are out there. And they're thrown out there for various reasons. I mean, Jim, look at this last thing where Donald Trump, our president, is calling for a tax cut for the middle class. Well, the Republicans never heard about it. They never caucused it. But
they're out of...
But he's just got it out there because, once again, it deflects attention. It takes your attention and goes somewhere that you don't want to go.
And then we have our wonderful media who covers it. If you sit and listen, actually, to the people, I won't call them clowns, on TV, if you sit and listen to the talking heads, every single one of them, you go to any station, it's all like, yeah, but so what? Because Congress isn't in session till after the midterm. So next... That's what people are actually saying. So
okay, well, I hear you, and I totally agree with you that we do need to focus on several things that are most important to us as individuals. I think there are a lot of things that apply to some people and don't apply to other people.
Absolutely.
For instance, the opiate drug crisis would not be probably and unfortunately a main issue for the general populace. However, the opiate crisis unfortunately does apply to citizens even in this area of the country, because I say even because it's everywhere. And so if you have a kid who's addicted, you're going to want to be serious about getting somebody in the office to try and help. And firstly, we need to do it on the check, the congressional basis, and then we can go at another time to the presidency. But looking at what I've covered here, I think three easy things that we can all agree on, and I think probably we agree on most of these things because what I've said really applies to us as individual people, human beings. But I think the first thing, which I actually highlighted, is the Social Security risk, that if the government starts inveigling on that in a country where already we have a pretty great poverty rate, considering how wealthy we are, and considering... You know, there are a lot of people who are looking for work who haven't gotten a raise in years. So Social Security begins to become very important to them, as does Medicare, which might be under the gun as well, and definitely Medicaid, which is under the gun. So let's say that might be one of the things. The other thing might be this cutback on health care. Previous health problems. The Republicans, various Republicans, even though they say differently, they want to deny coverage for people with previous health problems. Why do they want to do such a dastardly thing? Because they're getting so much money from the health industry. The deal is, if you've got a parent, a grandfather, yourself, if you're 40 or 50 or 60 and you're looking forward, man, you don't want to say, hey, if I get sick and I'm in between insurance and, wow, I get screwed and I'm going to lie in the hospital creating debt and maybe they throw me out and maybe they bankrupt me. So that would be number two.
I'm just
looking at my list here and I'm saying, okay, let's just leave it at one and two.
Yeah, here's the
it's
thing
about living a decent life. All we want as citizens is living a decent life. Most people in this country do not ask for any more than what they feel they're entitled to by working hard, saving, taking care of their country, and being good citizens. So why do we have a government which basically wants to inveigle on certain things that we've taken for granted, and which certainly are just common sense things. And frankly, they're humane things. And they're things that if we don't take care of and make sure we have these two things, this country will be in a shambles as it gets older. And that means our families will be in a shambles. We don't want that to happen. And we have the wherewithal right now to vote for something that, vote or not vote, for things that help our family and the families of others. The fellow from Florida, running for governor, made a great speech, and he ended it very well in terms of his debate. This is a Democrat. I'm not going to pronounce his name right. I think it's G-I-L-L-I-E-U-M.
No, Gillum. But,
oh, thank you. But he basically came at it from his family and how he grew up and just very simple, simple things. And he's a politician, so, but he hit a core with a lot of people. That's all we want, and we don't want war either. But forget about getting into the craziness going on in terms of our foreign policy. Just stick to what works for us and our families, and health care and keeping our Social Security benefits work. And the party in power obviously doesn't have a lot of concern about that. And if they did, they'd speak up and they'd reassure us.
Well, we only have about a minute and a half left, but I think this whole talk about what the major players of the Republican Party are, they are looking at the fact that a single-payer system is more and more and more and more popular in this country. They're trying to figure out ways in advance to cut down on expenditures. And I think that with health care, I think once that comes before a Senate and the House, no matter who's in control, people's voices heard. And we saw it before with the Affordable Health Care Act, how they couldn't kill the Affordable Health Care Act. They've gutted it a lot, but they couldn't kill it. I think what they're doing now is trying to prepare for that war on single-payer health care, because now a majority of Americans, you know, it's funny, 2 years ago when Bernie Sanders ran, everybody's saying, we'll never have single-payer health care.
Well, we have Frank.
Now Americans are starting to see, you know, what a majority of Americans are saying.
It just takes time.
Yeah,
and
maybe people
don't understand, and again, television doesn't help, but all this stuff takes time. It takes time to make laws, but sooner or later.
But Jim, you're
okay.
Right.
Okay, we don't have much time left,
no.
So let's get out and vote, and let's enjoy the day in honor of Marshall Miles, and have a great year, Marshall, and everybody listening to this broadcast.
I think Walter Cronkite and Johnny Carson were born on this day, too, I think.
I know Johnny Carson was. You got Johnny Carson.
I got Carson. Well, I tried to get Cronkite in there, but it didn't work. All right, Jim. Thank you for the serenade. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. God bless you. Have a good day.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch, and to cover your assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.
Cronkite, however, was a Scorpio.